call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Welcome back to Love and Inspiration with your host here, Roy Cotton Jr. on 102.7 FM, broadcasting from out of PJD3, Plaza 21 on the back street in Phillipsburg on St. Martin in the Eastern Caribbean. Reminding you that the show can be heard every Sunday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time here on 102.7 FM or on PJD2, RadioSXM.com. Or you can listen to a rebroadcast from the week before every Sunday on VoiceOfTheCaribbean.net, and that is at 8 p.m. on Sunday nights and on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. Atlantic Standard Time. And if you're interested in listening to a new episode of Love and Inspiration, check out BashaniRadio.com every Monday at 3 p.m. And that is going out to over quite a many, actually, platforms online and out to the major cities in the USA, internationally, and of course, as far as beautiful Dubai that I would love to visit one of these days. Today on the show, I've got two wonderful guests who are here to actually inspire you. They're going to be talking about a very important topic that everyone knows about. And unfortunately, we do know of persons who has gone through such. But they're here today to really share with us how important it is to recognize such and really bringing hope to you as you listen to the show. Today, I'm joined by two wonderful ladies. They are presently students of the Master's Counseling Degree Program at the Grace Hill Bible University campus here in St. Martin. And I am talking about two ladies who've been on the show before. And they are absolutely doing a great job as they are pursuing this master's degree counseling course. I'm talking about Rosanna. Yes, Rosanna Ajide and Toya Joseph, a wonderful lady who has been on the show before. She is out here with Rosanna, and we're just going to connect with him right now. Good afternoon to you, Rosanna. Welcome to Love and Inspiration. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Mr. Cotton. I'm doing well.
Fantastic. And Toya, how are you doing today on the show?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's a great pleasure, Mr. Cotton, for having me on the show today.
Great stuff. Welcome again to the show. So just let's kick it off a little bit so persons know who you are. Rosanna, where are you from? And just talk to us a little bit.
Well, Mr. Cotton, I am grateful for you having me here today on the show, Love and Inspiration. My name is Rosanna Simone Ajide. I was born in the land of many waters, which is the beautiful country of Republic of Guyana. Presently, I am living in the sunshine, friendly island of St. Martin for over 20 years. And I am currently pursuing the degree program in counseling.
Really, really happy to have you on here. And I'm looking forward to visiting your beautiful country someday with my wife. And hopefully I'll come back to St. Martin because I may just fall in love with Guyana. Thank you for being on the show and sharing. Toya, talk to us a little bit about where are you from?
My name is Toya Joseph from the lovely island of Dominica, 365 rivers. And indeed, it's a great pleasure for having me on your show. And I am presently doing the master degree at the Grace Hill Bible University campus in St. Martin.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. The land of many rivers, 365 rivers, also another place that I would really love to visit. So looking forward to that very, very soon. So as we're on the show here for a very important reason for the listeners who really want to hear what you have to share. As you stated, you are currently pursuing your degree. I really congratulate you because I'm pretty sure it's not that easy, but you're continuing to do what you have to do. So I know you're going to be successful when you graduate coming time. So all the best to you. But I just want to actually hear from you. Since you've been on this course at the university, talk to us a little bit about how has it been for you? So that persons have an idea of what you're learning. How has that been for you? Has it been an amazing experience? Or would you say, wow, it's a lot of work, but hey, somebody's got to do it. Let's hear from you, Rosanna.
First of all, let me say congratulations to myself for taking up this challenge. Sometimes you feel as if, you know, you're a little too old to do certain things. But hey, I'm here a year and a half now. Sometimes it can be challenging because because nothing good comes easily. You got to work hard for success. You got to make success happen. And in our world today, we need a lot of counselors. So I am so delighted that I did take up this challenge and I am continuing it. And thanks to my instructor, who is Dr. Ernemie Francis Cotton, she is a delightsome person to have as an instructor, a professor, and even, you know, a coach. I'm just happy to be here.
Wow. I can actually hear in your voice as you spoke a while ago so confidently, and the excitement that thus far you've had while pursuing your degree at the in master's counseling at the Grace of Bible University. Thank you for sharing that. I do really appreciate it. And I'm sure the listeners are feeling excited and saying, hey, if Rosanna is so excited, I've got to sign up tomorrow to follow this course. What about you, Toya? How has your experience been thus far?
This experience for me has been thus far has been one of motivational and one of insights. I have learned so many things since I attended the Bible Grace Hill University campus in St. Martin. I have learned to don't give up and pursue for what I want in spite of the challenges of life. In spite obstacles may arise, the sky is the limit. And in Bible Grace Hill University campus in St. Martin, we have such an amazing teacher. And she has standing for us that because one of what she stands for is for excellence. And she has taught us how to be excellent. She has taught us how not to settle for less. And she had taught us how to pursue our goals no matter what.
I can appreciate that very much, Toya. And I can also hear from you that this has been a journey that you have enjoyed and still is enjoying and will go to the end. Because as you stated, your professor has instilled in you to pursue excellence. And what you all both are learning has to be done with excellence, because there are persons out there who are depending on you because of the challenges that they are facing, and they need persons like yourself that will really be there for them to listen to them and a non-judgmental position. So let's talk a little bit about really something that plagues many people, and especially when there's challenges in a like now self, as we are aware that around the world, we are all going through, this is what is called the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. So even self, where you are located now, as we do this interview on St. Martin, we are not exempted from this pandemic. So let's talk a little bit about something that some persons may experience because of the stress that comes with such, or even other stresses, and that is suicide. And as I understood at this point in time on your course, you are learning about suicide because you all are training to have your master's degree in counseling. So Rosanna, can you share with us a little bit about what are you learning right now about suicide and why is it so important?
At present, there are three main types of factors that contributes to suicide. And one is situational. And that is the one that we are really faced with right now. The COVID-19 has, as you have mentioned earlier, situational external stressors, persons losing their jobs, and even with the COVID, they're getting sick. And it may lead to some persons wanting to check out. You know, one of the things we don't say anymore is that the person, we say that a person died by suicide because it's an act. You know, some may say that it's a criminal act, but persons are really stuck in a dark pit and they need a way out. And some of them find that death is the only way out. But we are learning how to help persons to find their purpose of life and to live instead of checking out. Because if they live, they can make a difference in another person's life.
It's very interesting that you said that, Rosanna. Very interesting you said that, you know, checking out. It sounds to me like then some persons are saying when they decide to do this, an act of suicide, that is maybe an easy way out. It's too much for them to handle. Do you think that that is a fair way of doing things, or is it a bit selfish?
It's amazing that you mentioned, you know, the term selfish. Who are we to judge to say that the person is selfish to check out? Because as a counselor, I believe that I am not in the position to judge a person who may want to end their life, because problems are real, and unfortunately, not everyone are equipped with the tools to fight depression and win. So that is why I believe that we shouldn't judge persons who may feel that they need to check out. What we need to do is to understand that they don't have the proper tools to encourage themselves to fight or to pursue and to live.
That's really interesting as you state that. What are your thoughts? Thank you for sharing that, because I'm sure that the listeners would also want to hear what Toya has to say about that, since both of you are following this course. Toya, are you on the same page with her, or do you have a different?
Well, I am on the same page with her as well. We have the major depression causes that could lead to alcoholism, as in due to loss of jobs, also due to loss of homes. It could also be a part of psychiatric disturbances like bipolar disorder, schizophrenic, which is personality disorder, with scattered thinking, where the person cannot think clearly. But as a counselor, if the counselor can spot an acute suicide ideation in the person, you could also stop the person from really committing suicide by asking questions like, how are you coping with what's been happening in St. Martin, COVID-19, and do you feel like dying, or are you feeling hopeless? There's a lot of questions. This could ask direct questions as a counselor, and this will enable the client to open up and tell you how she's feeling, or he or her is feeling.
I see. As I listen to you, Toya, and especially the listeners right now on St. Martin, the Eastern Caribbean, and around the world, you said some very key points, and that really helps me to recognize a very, very important role that you play as a counselor, a clinician. Because when you have a person that's coming to you who's feeling hopeless and thinking that this is the best way out, I believe what they need to feel from you is that you are there to actually be a soundboard for them. Because the last thing that they want, as I'm hearing from you, is someone who's judging them, because already there's a lot of judgment that is taking place. Hence the reason that, you know, they've decided that this is the best way forward to escape the reality of the hurt that they're going through. So I'm with you fully, and it makes a lot of sense on what you're stating. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr. here on 102.7 FM. My two guests on the show today are two ladies who've been on the show before, and they're presently pursuing their degree in counseling at the Grace Hill Bible University campus on St. Martin. It's a master's in counseling and degree program. And I'm speaking to Rosanna Ajide and also Toya Joseph. And as we continue with this very important interview on Love and Inspiration, I just want to actually look at something here, because as I'm understanding this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Rosanna, is that it's important for you as a counselor to also recognize that the act of suicide is no respecter of class or creed or race. Is that correct? I mean, does it choose to say, well, because you are of a specific social status, then, hey, you're more prone to do that? What can you say about it, Rosanna? Can it hit anyone? Can it happen to anyone?
Just as COVID-19 has no regards for status or gender, depression has no care who you are. Suicide ideation has no care of who you are. Anyone can think about it. And we have this ideation that Christians are not supposed to be thinking about it. But yet when we study the scriptures in depth, we will see that some of the prophets were suicidal. For example, Elijah, he was suicidal. Samson died in that manner. And Jonah was also, when he was running away from God, he and the waves and the sea went, you know, wild. He told the persons on the boat to throw him over. He had preferred to die than to do what he was supposed to do. So suicide has no respecter of persons. People who want to die, they will just want to die. It doesn't matter if it's a prime minister, if it's the president, the richest man in the world, or the poorest man in the world. When a person decides to check out, they will try to check out. And it is our responsibility as counselors is to provide solutions for them.
Provide solutions for them. You know, as I listen to you, Rosanna, one of the things that is so very interesting is that you said that even Christians, you know, would have those thoughts so, or even think about it, you know, it could even do that. Because you gave some references to characters of persons from the Bible, and persons would think then, but why would you want to do that? As you would always claim and say, you've got God living for you in you, and you're walking in faith. So why would that be happening? I mean, in our churches, they say, I'm going to pray for you. Is that maybe being overlooked? Are pastors aware of this? Can one of you answer that, Toy? Or what are your thoughts on that? And then maybe, Rosanna, you can come back on that. Because I'm thinking right now, listeners really want to know, how can that be possible in churches? Toy, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, the churches believe once you are saved, you are saved, and the churches believe that, or Christians, some of us believe that you don't have any, you are not, no thoughts of suicide comes to your mind because we go to church. But what we have to understand that Christians and non-Christians go through testing and go to trial. Some being hurt at times, some being disappointed, some people lose their job, and there's no two suicidal that is the same. People don't the stresses that affect others or may affect somebody else. Two persons don't go up about it the same way. So in the church, we have a way that we cover up things. Like we do it through prayer, we do it through worship, and we really, really, really wanted to kill ourselves. They are the thoughts of suicide ideation there. That's why as counselors we have to be very keen, be very open about suicide, and also ask the Holy Ghost to hide, guide us, that we can tell someone, whether in the body of Christ or outside the body of Christ, that want to die by suicide, because sometimes they're not always giving the signs that are there. They have sometimes the signs are not there. But once you have the Holy Spirit, you can spot that the person, or the Holy Spirit can reveal to you that the person want to commit suicide.
That's really powerful, that what you're saying there, Toya. And I can appreciate what you're sharing, because right now what this is doing is that it is giving the listeners an opportunity to understand that really across the board, no one is exempt. And even that's why it's so important for in the church, those who are in leadership, spiritual leaders, it may be a pastor, may it be an apostle or such, to be very aware along with the other spiritual leaders on what the individual congregation member may be experiencing, and to also take it quite seriously if they do feel that inclination or brave enough to come up and say, this is what my thoughts or this is what's going on, even though, you know, I am saved, as is stated, and I walk in faith and I have Christ in my life, but I'm human. And as long as I'm in my human flesh, this is what I may be experiencing. And this is the help that I'm looking for. I really appreciate that, Toya, with you sharing that and really giving us some light on that aspect. Now, you two ladies, I have to say, I have so much respect for you, because what you're doing right now is so very important. And in our society, persons like yourself and other persons right now who are listening and saying, wow, this is something that I've been looking at, you know, doing to be able to help other persons. I really want to register for this course, which they'll be able to do that in a bit when you share the details later. But I want to come back onto something very important, and that is that both of you, and this is where the show is all about being very honest and sharing with people, because what you may say now may just liberate someone who has been suffering in silence. And I always say this on the show, please, listeners, do not suffer in silence. Seek help. Rosanna, has it ever been a time when you yourself, or whatever circumstances you may have faced, that you have maybe thought for yourself about committing the act of suicide, or you've been okay? Because you said earlier, suicide has no respect of race or gender or such. Has it ever crossed your mind or any situation? If you would like to share so that persons can know, hey, if Rosanna has experienced this or thought about this, then hey, what am I actually here suffering in silence while I can get the help?
Well, Mr. Cotton, yes, I had suicidal thoughts. I even had the ideation. It's like, how I'm going to do it. And the first time I wanted to jump overboard in one of the rivers, because, you know, Guyana is a land of many waters. So there are rivers all around us. And because I can't swim, I still can't. So I can't swim. I'll jump in the river and just check out. But God spared me. Then another time I wanted to overdose on kerosene oil, but he spared me. I guess my faith was kind of stronger than me wanting to check out. And then another time I had some pills in my hand and I was ready to swallow those pills, but the Lord showed up in front of me. And I stated before that people usually check out because they don't have the tools or the resources to help them to pull back from it. And that is why we need to help them by giving or providing solutions. So I had solutions as how to pull myself out of the maelstrom, but persons may not have it. And my advice to persons who may be suffering from that, you may have been abused, sexually molested, you may have lost your job, you may have been humiliated, you may have been cast out from your family, you may maybe suffering from a terminal sickness, or you're old now and you don't feel as if you can do the things that you used to do before. My advice to you, checking out is not final option, because as what doesn't matter how terrible your situation is, you can find help in Christ and you can find a way to live. And yes, they are us counselors who have been through situations that can help you. And if you're living on St. Martin, you can feel free to contact us. I'm going to give you this number now, how to contact our instructor. And later on, we're going to say it again. You can contact us at 1-721-524-8731 or successcoach@victoriousliving.com. We're going to say that again later in the program. So I'm thankful that I did not check out, because now I can help someone. I can help them to find their purpose by providing different solutions for them to live. Before I move from this, I want to say something, Mr. Roy.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
To be proactive in our belief, we have to base our theory on different religious and cultural belief, because, you know, you said something earlier, you may get back to it. Persons in different culture believe that maybe because they're getting old, as you mentioned earlier, I could say like in South Korea or somewhere there, that because they're getting old, they don't want to become a burden to their family members. They don't want to put financial pressure on the family members. But if it is taught in our society to honor our elderly and to help and to assist them and to love on them because they have wisdom to give to the younger generation, then we can eradicate this kind of belief system.
That's a very, very important point there. Rosanna, I really can agree with you on that, because so very often we recognize that our elderly is somewhat disregarded in our society, and we forget that at the end of the day, the elderly person, or as I would call it, a person with a lot of life experience, was just like ourselves if we are in our 20s, 30s, or 40s. And we got to remember that we're not going to stay in our 30s, 40s, or 50s forever. So we have to get there sometime. So at the end of the day, respect needs to be due where respect is due. So I fully understand what you're saying, Rosanna, and you, I can appreciate very much so what you shared by being so honest on where you were at three times in your life on looking at also carrying out that act of suicide. I appreciate that, Rosanna. Thank you for sharing. Toya, what about you? Has it ever happened to you, or life has just been, yeah, a bed of roses for you, Toya? Share with us.
For me, I have contemplated dying by suicide so many times. From a young age, like about 10 years, I could remember, because of what happened at my home, the abuse, seeing that Dominica is one of a place of agriculture, and they use the Gramazone to kill dangerous weeds. I wanted to drink the Gramazone and end my life. And also in my adult age, living in St. Martin, I was growing up going through a devastating breakup relationship. And usually I have the rat poison in my house, and I was contemplating to end my life by drinking the rat poison. But I just thank God that I had good friends, which I spoke to, and they helped me through the stress that I was going through. And also my foundation, my belief in Christ also has set a major path in my life. And I just want to say to people out there listening, because sometimes they think when somebody died by suicide that they are weak, they are weak, and before they decide to judge somebody that have been that died by suicide, they first have to put themselves in the person's position. They have to ask themselves, if I was in that place, what will I do? And now I am alive. I give God the praise. And I would like to tell those out there who are suffering with this ailment that they don't have to die by suicide. There are people who are trained, and there are people who are capable, and there are people who are willing to sit down and take the necessary time to listen to their hurts, to listen to their pain, and to offer them help wherever is needed in their life. And as my classmates already give the email number and the telephone number, you don't have to take your life. There are people are waiting on the other line to talk to you and to give you a word of encouragement and assistance.
You know, Toya, as I listen to you and the listeners right now on St. Martin and the neighboring islands and around the world, as this interview is rebroadcast again on voiceofthecaribbean.net and aired as a new episode on Bashani Radio in New York, I'm sure that as persons listen to your voice, they can hear and feel that this is a person that if they are going through whatever it is and they have to sit in your presence, that you, from a genuine place, would be able to receive him or her. And that's so very important, because that's what a person needs, someone that they can relate to and know that they're not going to be judged for whatever they may be thinking about or about to do, and can also then feel that this person who is sitting before me has somewhat an idea of what I've been through, because they have been on that part themselves. So I can appreciate that very much, Toya. And also the same from Rosanna, as you shared a while ago. I know right now there are persons who are saying, thank you so much for sharing, because now I have a reason to continue to live. Now I have a reason to find someone to talk to than to actually suffer in silence. And it just brings me to a point, Toya, and I know we're going to be coming up very soon to the end of this very powerful interview, because I'm going to share one or two other things with you, or actually not share, but ask you one or two other important things, both of you. But Toya, you have recently conducted, as I understood, a survey to determine how prevalent suicide in the Asian is on St. Martin. What are the results that you found so far? Because this is very interesting to understand. I know that you did some really important work, as I understood, about that. So the survey that you've recently conducted to determine how prevalent suicide is here on St. Martin, what are the results that you have gotten so far? What are the results that has shown you so far?
Yeah, I have three children at the age of 14 who had suicide ideations.
Okay.
And they are males. Also, I have like Christians. We do have suicide ideations, 60% who plan of taking their lives, and as non-Christians, 40% who decide of taking their lives. And psychological factors, we had divorce, that we had also depression, but hopelessness being 72%. Most of these had hopelessness. That's why they wanted to kill themselves. The major was hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine, especially with a time like this, there's that feeling of hopelessness. So can you share with us a bit about hopelessness about? What are they really hopeless about? Is it hopeless about that they won't have a job anymore, or hopeless about the relationship might not work anymore since whatever? Can you share with us a little bit? And how many person did the survey, would you say, Toya?
Well, the amount of person that I surveyed was like 25.
Okay.
And they had different reasons. One was divorce. One person was divorced. I also had a young, about 25 years, also said that he wanted to take his life because of church issues. He was constantly blaming for things that he did not do. So we had rejection as well. One also said that they were abandoned by their family. One said the loss of jobs. The other one, for the children, they said that they were about pressure at the home. The three kids, children, female, is 14 years, said there was too much pressure at the home. The mother constantly yelling at them and screaming at them. And I had also one man who was 59 years. He said that because of no motherly love and fatherly love.
I see.
As well.
Wow, those are some very interesting reasons of the hopelessness. And I'm thankful that you shared that, because this is our reality. Because sometimes some of us may just, you know, think that because we are living in our own, I would say, bubble or circle or whatever you want to call it, that they are not these things that are happening and that persons are feeling hopeless about. Because maybe we are thinking about ourselves on maybe how are we going to have the next lunch, or how am I going to pay that other bill? But there are persons who are really feeling hopeless about matters that are very important for them. That is their reality. So thank you for sharing that right now. I'm sure persons have taken note of that and are able to feel right now that, hey, that's how I have been feeling hopeless. I don't have to continue to feel hopeless that way. There's help. And I'm listening to two persons here on the radio show that are upcoming counselors following a degree program, a master's degree program at the Graysill Bible University campus on St. Mark's. Now, I want to just mention something, just swiftly as we're coming to the end of this interview here. And this is just on some information that I've gathered. And it states here, according to the World Health Organization, Trinidad and Tobago has the third highest suicide rate regionally behind Suriname and Guyana. These countries share high East Indian populations who are most impacted by suicide, stated a January 8, 2020 article in Wired. Now, that's something I've just read for you there. And if I look here also on referencing the world population review.com, and this is suicide rate by country 2020, and it states here, suicide occurs throughout the world, affecting individuals of all nations, cultures, religions, genders, and classes. As Rosanna had stated earlier, is no respecter of class, gender, race, etc. And it says here, for example, in 2020, among the top five are Eastern European country of Lithuania, where it is 31.9 suicides per 100,000 inhabitants. The Eastern European country of Russia, 31 suicides per 100,000 inhabitants. The South American country of Guyana, 29.2 suicides per 100,000 inhabitants. And then we have the Asian country of South Korea with 26.9 suicides per 100,000 inhabitants. Now, if we go down a little bit here, as I am going over this information, it stated that going to the Caribbean, for instance, it says that in the Caribbean, and I'm just pulling this up here, let me just go over to the Caribbean. For some reason, in the Caribbean, seemingly, it's like the population, we're stating here, is not so, there's not such high levels of suicide. Oh, here it is. The lowest suicide rates in the world are concentrated in the Caribbean island of the Bahamas. They have Jamaica, Grenada, Barbados, and Antigua and Bermuda. Suicide is almost unheard of in each of these countries, with Barbados and Antigua and Bermuda reporting 0.8 and 0.5 suicides per 100,000 inhabitants, respectively. Now, I'm just wondering, why is it like that in the Caribbean? And we talked about a while ago, or in the beginning of the show, where it's no suicide is no respecter of age, gender, etc. Why is it like that in the Caribbean? And then in Guyana, which is just part of the Caribbean, actually, is a South American country. Why is there 29.2 suicides per 100,000 inhabitants? Rosanna, would you like to share on that? Because I know you're from Guyana. Can you share with us your thoughts?
Unfortunately, most Guyanese are not equipped to deal with their problems, and their problems are not just is based on depression. It's not biological, it's not psychological, it is more situational. A husband may feel that his wife is cheating on him, he killed her, and he will kill himself. That's basically, you will find most situation, most suicide is around that area. A young woman may be forced into a marriage that she did not like the young man, so she killed herself, or she chose to die by suicide. Some family members, they fight over land, and they may not get what they want, so they drink a dose of poison, Gramazone, or they go and they hang themselves. Basically, what I will say, which may not be right, according to my studies and researches, it doesn't make sense. But then again, they don't have the tools to deal with their problems. They don't know how to solve their problems. They are very hasty. They are very arrogant. And I know Guyanese may hear me in New York saying this, but it is the truth. They just do not like to sit and have calm dialogue where, you know, you sit and you build a community where you can communicate as grown-ups and speak at a cultural system or belief that we can set things in order. And for this reason, we say that the Caribbean, Guyana is not Caribbean, Guyana is South America, it's in the South American continent, all the way down south. It's in the basin of the Caribbean Sea. So that is why it's grafted in, because it is the only English speaking country on that continent. So it's grafted into the Caribbean. I believe personally why suicide is low in the Caribbean is that people are more friendlier, you know. People are more outgoing. They talk with each other. They reason with each other. They love each other. And they take time off to frolic. You know, they go on the beach and they relax. And they don't drink so much rum as Guyanese will drink rum. Because when they drink the rum, they blind their thinking. So that's where you would have a biological something coming in, because it the use of toxin drugs, including alcohol. So that could cause depression because the brains are not functioning well. And we have Guyanese living all over the world. And even in New York, we have Guyanese men killing their wives. If they're studying and they're looking at the news over and over again, they will see how Guyanese men are killing their wives and then kill themselves because they don't want to face the consequences.
Wow, powerful. That's really powerful. I really appreciate you sharing that with us, Rosanna. As we're coming now to the end of this really powerful interview here on Love and Inspiration, can you, Toya, maybe you can just point out to the listeners, let's say at least three symptoms that shows that someone is thinking about taking their life, and also the same from you, Rosanna. So three each, and then we're going to close off by you giving the contact details on how persons could connect with professionals as yourself or such to receive the help. So three signs or symptoms, Rosanna, that indicates that a person is, you know, really thinking about doing such, and also three from you, Toya. And of course, you know, what you would say as a solution to helping them and giving the contact details for us, please. Go ahead, Rosanna. Three symptoms or signs.
Okay. Three signs a person may be thinking of suicide or planning to do it. One, they may start giving away all their possession, you know, giving away valuable things that they have. They may tell you, two, they may say, soon this will all be over. And three, they will say, I'm not going to be here for long anymore.
Okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Toya, thank you, Rosanna. What would you say, Toya?
Yes, you could look for sign of hopelessness. And if they are talking about killing themselves regularly, or if they are talking about killing themselves and making it a joke. And also when you have excessive alcohol.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Because one person's, I'm sure, state one of the three or one out of the six or whatever number as such. I'm sure that as a counselor, it's so very important, or even self persons who are near to them, is important to ask them, I believe, you know, if you were going to do that, how are you going to do that? Is that correct? Does that give an indication so that you have an idea on how serious they are about thinking about doing that?
Yes, when a person is behaving like that, it is best that you ask them a direct question. Are you thinking of suicide? Are you planning on killing yourself? And they will tell you yes or no. Don't go around the bush. Don't beat around the bush. Don't avoid using the word suicide, because they want to tell you something, and they're trying to tell you something, and that is why they've been throwing hints, you know, around. They've been throwing hints around because it's not easy to kill yourself. Persons may be listening at this time, and they may think that this is something very easy to do. It is not easy to do. It is a very, very hard thing to do. They start losing their appetite for taking care of themselves, which is their health. They lose their mobility, cognitive function, ability for self-care. They lose loss of role within the family or society, loss of skills, loss of job opportunity, loss of means of support, loss of homes or cherished possession, loss of loved ones, including killing pets. Imagine. Wow. So it is not, we should not blame persons and think that is they're taking the easy way out. It is not easy for a person to even think of suicide, much less to do the act. It is very hard for them. It is very difficult for them. It is very painful for them. And they are crying for help. If a person had not, if any person who have never suffered that kind of hopelessness, I believe we shouldn't judge, because you don't know what the person is feeling. You don't know the dark space or place that person is in, the despair the person is in, and the person need to be helped so they can get out. And if they don't receive the help, then eventually they will do the hard thing. The hardest thing for a person to do is to take their own lives. And we need more church ministers, pastors and evangelists and teachers and prophets and apostles to be trained. I am a licensed minister and an ordained prophet who is pursuing a master's in the counseling degree program. So if I can do this, the cry right now is for more. I remember the dean of the St. Martin campus, Dr. Orlando, he was speaking with my husband and myself, and he said to us that I wanted to do Christian education. And he said to me, no, you have enough of that already. The world need counselors. The church need counselors. The schools need counselors. We need counselors. So the best thing for you to do, I will advise you to do the counseling program. So I am inviting all persons who are listening out there. It doesn't matter where you are now. It doesn't matter how painful your situation may be. I will encourage you to do the course, do the program. And in doing the program, you also will find healing, as I am still doing. I'm still finding healing because I had a traumatic childhood, extremely traumatic. And as a believer, a Christian, a minister, a prophet, counselor in training, I am still dealing with deep hurts, deep things that I thought wasn't there. So you can contact us at 1-721-524-8731. I'm going to repeat that again. 1-721-524-8731. Email address is successcoach, one word, successcoach at victoriouslivingfoundation.com. Let me repeat that again for you. Successcoach at victoriouslivingfoundation.com. Contact us, change your life, change the world by changing one life at a time. That's my motto. We may not be able to change the whole world, but we can change one life at a time. And that one life can change another life, and we will have a ripple effect in making our world a better place. Thank you.
Fantastic, Rosanna. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rosanna Ajide here on Love and Inspiration. Toya, I just wanted to hear your final thoughts on as we close the show, as we heard powerfully there from Rosanna Ajide. Toya Joseph, your final thoughts as we close off this powerful interview on Love and Inspiration with you here.
I would like to tell the public that they don't have to die by suicide. They have to understand that not only they are alone dealing with stress, but thinking about suicidal ideation is a normal way of life. But the problem is when you think about the suicide ideation, what you do with it, the negative thought, that will be the result. Don't kill your life, because there is a great future for you. There's purpose inside of you, and God has a great, great plan for your life.
Powerful. Thank you. Thank you, Toya. I really appreciate it. And job well done to both of you. I'm definitely saying this without a doubt that you have done absolutely your university great deal of joy, and absolutely, I'm sure that your professor and also the dean of the university is super proud of you. Done an awesome job, and I want to thank you for being on Love and Inspiration today. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to this powerful interview here with Roy Cotton Jr., and my two guests today on the show were Miss Rosanna Ajide along with Toya Josephs, and they're both counseling degree students. They're pursuing right now their master's counseling degree program at the Grace Hill Bible University campus on St. Martin. The Grace Hill Bible University is located in New Jersey, USA. And there's a campus here on St. Martin that is physically located over at the Heaven's Touch International Church, right across from the Yuppie gas station in Sutter Garden. But of course, right now, due to the COVID-19, they're following their classes virtually. You heard earlier that if you are interested in receiving help, but also too interested in following the course, you can connect today on telephone number 1-721-524-8731. That's 1-721-524-8731. Or email successcoach, that's one word, successcoach@victoriouslivingfoundation.com. This is Love and Inspiration, Roy Cotton Jr. here on 102.7 FM. Keep it locked in for great music just after this. Don't go anywhere.
All new Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone.